Okay, is the tape running, Dad?
Uh-huh.
The Barkley Family Chronicles, take 2.
A recording for Stuart Reed Barkley when he's old enough to appreciate it.
Stuart, this is our adventure in Pokenberry Falls.
Which is in New England.
An offbeat little town which was supposed to be a rustic resort that kind of turned out to be a little,
old and worn out.
Thanks, Mary. We were there because the church asked me to consider becoming their pastor. Now, where did we leave off?
Let's see. Jimmy and Donna had gone off with Amy, and she wanted to get them into some, rather unchristian things.
That's right. And we were at the church with Ellis and Vivian, our hosts, trying to get some maniac out of the church. So, which story should we tell first?
Tell about the church first. The other part makes me too depressed.
Okay. We were at First Church, where some guy had locked himself in, yelled a lot, and sounded like he was tearing the church apart. Ellis then told me that it was his brother. Your brother?
Yeah, my brother. His name is Owen. He's a temperamental artist. He paints houses mostly. To be honest, he's not wrapped real tight, you know.
So what are you going to do?
Go in and try to calm him down.
And get him to stop throwing those bottles on the floor. It's going to take me forever to clean them up.
Bottles?
Yeah, bottles. He goes around town and collects them for the deposit and recycling fees. A little side cash, don't you know?
He doesn't have a job.
Well, when he gets mad, he throws bottles down. Likes the sound of the glass breaking, I guess. He always has since we were kids.
He's done this before?
Oh, a few times. He means no harm, you know. That's why the police leave him to me. No offense, Pastor, but I think it'd be better if you waited out here with the women.
Maybe he's right, George.
With all due respect, Ellis, I'd feel better if I went in with you. I mean, two are better than one and all that.
Suit yourself.
You better explain to Stuart what happened when you walked through the door.
Well, for one thing, it wasn't locked. We pushed open this big oak door, crept through the foyer and into the sanctuary, which was all stone except for the wooden pews. And no sooner had Ellis peeked in than...
Hey! Cut it out, Owen! It's me! It is me!
I know who it is. You don't think I know my own brother?
Then quit throwing the bottles, will you? Look at the mess you made. What's your problem this time?
You're giving away my house.
What?
You're giving it away. Did you ask me? Did anyone think to tell old Owen? No. I show up and they're tearing it apart, fixing it up for the new guy.
It is not your house.
I've been there for 2 years, Ellis. 2 years.
You were allowed to stay there temporarily, remember?
2 years, Ellis!
Stop it, Owen! You're throwing away good money by breaking those bottles, and if you hurt this church...
I don't care!
Look, this is your own fault. If you came to the meetings like you were supposed to, you would have known that the house was being fixed up for the new pastor.
New pastor?
Yeah. To be honest, he's mad because we let him live in the parsonage.
What are you talking about? Who is this guy?
George Barkley.
He's here to think about being our new pastor.
You? You're throwing me out of my house.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, and just quit throwing bottles so we can talk it through.
Yeah, right. Talk it through and I'm out. Betrayed, left desolate.
No.
Maybe
no.
I should just swallow these bottles and die right here.
No, don't be a fool, Owen.
I haven't even said I'd come, Owen.
Yeah, and if you behave, we'll let you join the meeting tomorrow. You can vote him out if you want to. And then you can stay in the house longer.
Pardon me?
Just go along, okay? Otherwise, I'll have to call the police and have them come take you away. You got it? That's your choice.
Well,
nothing. Yes or no?
Okay, yeah. I'll come to the meeting.
Good. You're finished throwing bottles around?
Yeah, I guess.
And you're going to clean up your mess, right?
Yeah, I'll do it. I want Vivian giving me those nasty looks while she does it.
Good. Let's go, George.
Huh? That's it?
Yep. No big deal, see?
But what was all that about going to a meeting tomorrow? I mean, isn't it a deacon's meeting?
Uh-huh. He's one of our deacons, you know.
I'll be down in the family room, unpacking my bed.
Jimmy, wait!
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, I like your brother, but he's really immature. I guess you're going to march off in a self-righteous huff now.
Look, Amy, like I said at the Falls...
I know what you said at the Falls. You said you don't drink and then acted like I was doing something wrong because I did.
But that's the truth. We don't drink, and, well, we were just surprised that you do.
You're kidding, right?
Everybody I know drinks, except my grandparents. You can't bear Pokenberry Falls otherwise. You're telling me nobody drinks in Odyssey?
None of the kids I hang out with do. I guess it's always been a given that it's wrong.
Well, Donna, you're not in Odyssey anymore. Tell my grandparents I've gone out for a while. I'd invite you, but it's obvious you'd say no.
So, what did you do next?
I went down to the family room and talked to Jimmy about it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that someone as good-looking as Amy could be so twisted up like that.
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, couldn't she just try to make the best of the situation?
What a waste.
Well, Stuart, by now you're probably thinking that everything seems out of whack. But strangely enough, being out of whack is what helped put all the pieces into place. We all knew that things weren't what they seemed. I was just waiting for the right moment to talk to Ellis about it. That moment would come soon enough.
The next morning, we all got up and Ellis and Viv resumed our little tour of Pokenberry Falls.
That's when I noticed Vivian's hair.
Her hair?
Well, it was a different color.
Oh.
Yeah, on Tuesday she was blonde, and the next day she was a redhead.
Is that what was different about her? I thought she was wearing different earrings.
Oh, you're hopeless, George. She wore wigs. I asked her about it. She changes them every day. She says it keeps everyone guessing. A lot like Ellis and his hats.
At least she didn't keep fishing lures in her wigs.
I mean that Ellis changed his hat every day, too.
Anyway, getting back to the story, I finally persuaded Ellis to take us to see the parsonage, particularly since it was the reason for Owen's tirade the night before.
This is where your pastor lives?
It's gigantic.
It's wonderful.
It's got a lot of potential. Can we have a look?
Sure, just be careful.
Who's renovating it, by the way?
Folks from the church, mostly. They figured that we'd never get a pastor in if we didn't have a nice place for them to live.
This is incredible.
I thought only rich people lived in houses like this.
Oh, rich people did until around 50 or so years ago. To be honest, it was originally owned by the Lionel family until Barry's father built a bigger place on the other side of town and donated this to the church.
And now it's the parsonage and a bed and breakfast.
A bed and breakfast?
You mean the pastor worked at the church and as a chaplain of the college and ran a bed and breakfast too? Your previous pastors must have been supermen. I mean, why did they do so much?
Well, they sort of had to, you know.
Had to?
Well, to make ends meet.
Not exactly to make ends meet, Viv. In part, it's because we're a small town.
To make ends meet, Ellis. Look, there's no further point in wrapping an onion up in Christmas paper. I like these folks too much not to completely level with them.
Well, it's all in the way you look at things, Vivian.
Well, look at it from their point of view. Quit giving them the nickel tour and lay out the cold, hard facts, Ellis.
That's a good idea, Ellis. Why don't you tell us what's really going on here?
Okay. To be honest, the church is small.
How small?
Well, there may be 5 families left.
It's about 30 people in all.
Well, obviously, we don't have enough money for a full-time pastor, which is why we made a deal to share chaplain duties with the college.
Right.
That covers about 3/4 of what a family might need. The bed and breakfast takes care of the rest. It's not what anyone would call a lucrative package.
Downright poor for some people.
Hey, when it comes to being poor, we're overqualified.
Apart from some of the quirks of the people in the town, well, that's all we have left to tell you.
George, I wasn't trying to mislead you. Honest. We're at the end of our spiritual ropes, that's all. We desperately need a pastor, and I thought it would be best to, you know, do everything I could to make a good impression.
I understand, Ellis, but we didn't come here to get a good impression. We came to get an accurate impression.
That's fair enough, Pastor. And to be honest, I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to pack up and fly back to Odyssey right now, you know? It's okay if you do. I'll take you now.
Well, I think it'd be best...
I knew it.
No, hold on. I think it would be best if you can arrange to get us a car for a little while so we as a family can look around Pokenberry Falls on our own. We'll see what we have to see and let God take care of the rest.
All right, Pastor. I don't suppose we have anything to lose at this point.
Getting you a pastor has been in God's hands all along, Ellis. You never had anything to lose. It made all the difference, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. We drove all over town, up and down the residential streets, past the schools. We saw everything.
And we saw it for what it really was, a town on the edge of decline. What Odyssey could be if things suddenly changed for the worse.
That was the point, though. It wasn't Odyssey. But towns like Odyssey are few and far between. It was important for us to realize that.
Then I found a little road that took us up the side of the mountain. It was perfect. It gave us a view of the whole town, remember? Look at it.
From up here, it looks beautiful. Almost like that postcard.
It's only when you get close that you see the flaws.
That's pretty much true for everything, I guess.
Okay, call me crazy, but I like it. I mean, I don't know that I want to live here, but it's okay.
What if God said we should live here?
Well, I'd still say it's okay.
What do you think, Donna?
I don't know how I feel. I mean, I don't want to leave Odyssey. I never want to leave Odyssey. But I know we will someday, for this or for something else. So I feel confused. I keep thinking about Amy and what she said last night. Well, what if all the kids really are like her? Where does that leave me?
I think it leaves you where I am. I mean, just look at the town. It seems so lost. It's as if the need is just screaming up at us. You see over there, and right over there, where the new houses are going in? Everyone will have people in them who need to know Jesus.
But are we the ones who are supposed to introduce them to him?
Yeah, that's the question only God can answer. Hello? Anybody home?
We're back here. So, how was your private tour?
It was helpful. Thank you for letting us borrow your car.
Our pleasure. You're back just in time for the deacons' meeting. Oh, that is, if you still want to meet with the deacons. To be honest, I called the airstrip and told them I might need the plane, you know, just in case.
Ellis, I came here to see your town, meet your deacons, and preach tonight in your service. I'm still committed to doing all of those things, unless there's some reason you have to stop me.
Oh, no, Pastor. Not me, no. Good, good, good. Why don't you get freshened up, and I'll take you over to the church. We can pick up the rest of the family for the service later, you know.
All right. Let's do that.
While Dad went to the church with Ellis, we got ready for the church service. I think Vivian went grocery shopping. Oh, and Mom called Connie Kendall to see how you were doing, Stuart. Well, anyway, Jimmy and I were down in the family room watching television when Amy came in. This is a real moose head, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. The antenna on this TV doesn't work very well.
It's attached to the moose antlers.
Well, so you're still here. I figured you'd ran away after what happened last night.
We're leaving tomorrow. Dad's preaching at your church tonight.
It isn't my church. I hope he has a good time.
You're not going?
Not a chance. I'm meeting up with some of my friends.
By the falls, right?
Right. I guess there's no point in asking you to come with me. You wouldn't have the nerve.
It's not about nerve, Amy.
Then what is it about?
Never mind.
Oh, I get it. You're above all this, right?
I'm not above anything, Amy. I just don't see where hanging out with you and your friends so you can drink until you forget where you live is such a great idea.
Jimmy.
Don't get all high and mighty with me. If your parents are crazy enough to take the job at the church, you'll see how fast you'll want to be up there with us.
No way. What's the use of hanging around with a lot of kids who are probably just as beautiful and popular like you, but all twisted up on the inside?
Jimmy, stop.
No, it's okay. Let the little man talk.
No. That's more than I meant to say. Excuse me, I want to take a walk.
I like the way his earlobes turn red when he's mad.
Well, we're all a little stressed out.
So he didn't mean what he said?
Well, he meant it. I guess we're both confused by how different you are from the kids we know in Odyssey.
The kids are perfect in Odyssey, huh?
No, not perfect, but I've always been taught that it's not where you are, but who you are that counts. It's what you make of... When it comes right down to it, Pocanberry Falls and Odyssey aren't that different. They're just towns with people who have the kinds of problems that everybody has. So it's not the problems, but how we react to them. Jimmy and I, we sort of look at how you're reacting to your problems and we think, well, it's sad.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Fine, But remember something while you're passing judgment on me. You're leaving here. You're going back to Odyssey, your little paradise. I dare you to stay here for 6 months and say what you just said.
Well, George, I don't think we should wait for Mr. Lionel anymore. To be honest, you know, I'd be surprised if he came. So maybe we should get on with it. You know me, and this is Harry Nicholson.
Hi, Harry.
Nice to meet you.
And you've already met my brother, Owen.
I vote nay against him.
Not yet, Owen. Relax. I believe the procedure here is to ask you some questions about your theological background and some of your personal history.
Sorry I'm late, Poopoo, but I got stuck on a transatlantic phone call. Somebody needs to teach those French people how to speak English.
Yes, Mr. Lionel. We are honored you could make it. This is...
George Barclay. How do you do?
Nice to meet you, sir.
Yes. Well, give it a few minutes. You may not be so sure.
Really?
Really. Sit down, Ellis. You're making me nervous. And take off that hat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's only that, to be honest, we were just starting to talk about his theological beliefs, and I think that
Plenty of time for that later. I only have a few minutes, and I want to make a couple things perfectly clear. Mr. Barclay, this isn't about whether or not you say yes to us, but whether or not we say yes to you. You understand?
Well, I suppose...
Our church is a mess. I think you know that.
I did notice that.
We've had some pretty spineless pastors over the years who mismanaged our money and didn't lead the people. Do you know what I mean?
Lack of leadership, right.
Yeah, you know how I got where I am? I believe in leadership. It's what's kept Pokenberry Falls alive all these years. It'd be a ghost town if my family hadn't made the hard decision to keep it going. I'm not very popular because of it, but I'm not here to be popular. Let me put it simply. Why should I say yes to your coming to Pokenberry Falls?
Why should you say yes? Well, I... Mr. Lionel, I appreciate the very direct way you're handling this meeting, so I'll respect you enough to be just as direct. I'm not interested in whether you say yes or not.
Really?
I think what he means, Mr. Lionel...
Quiet, Alice.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lionel. It's not you saying yes or me saying yes, but God saying yes to this whole idea. That's why I'm here, to see what God wants me to do. Your church has needs, this town has needs, but so do a lot of other churches and towns. I came here to see if God wants me to be the one to help this church in this town. And I have to say that it'd be pretty arrogant of either one of us to believe that your yes or my yes is the final word, any more than you can believe that the Lionels are actually responsible for this town. God's responsible, Mr. Lionel. You and the townspeople have simply been entrusted with it. So I assume if God wants me to come, I'll come. And we'll all see how we can help this town.
Pretty gutsy you talking to me like that.
It took me a year away from businessmen to realize that hard honesty is the best way to deal with businessmen. And I didn't think you'd want anything less.
Well, I wanted to see what you're made of, George, and I have... Ellis, this man can have the job if he wants it. Goodbye.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I guess meeting's adjourned.
Nay, I vote nay.
Be quiet, Owen.
Well, everything was a blur after that meeting with Mr. Lionel. When all was said and done, I wasn't sure what I'd said or done. All I knew was that Mr. Lionel reminded me of a lot of the people I'd worked with at the office, people who were big on control. Reaching them for Christ was always something I wanted to do.
Ellis told us you were terrific. Nobody had spoken like that to Mr. Lionel in years. Obviously, you made quite an impression.
An accurate impression.
Well, I preached that night, too. Anybody remember what that was about?
Yeah. He preached about how God called Jesus into the wilderness before his ministry began, and how nothing was really as it seemed because Satan kept trying to distract Jesus from who he really was and what he was supposed to do.
Just like us.
That's right. You know, I can be pretty profound sometimes, huh?
Yes, but don't let it go to your head.
Well, then we said we'd pray about their offer and let them know later. We left.
And I didn't get to talk to Amy again.
I'm sure she missed that.
You're funny.
We got on the plane with Ellis and headed home, and that's when the rest of the pieces fell into place.
Oh, I am so tired. Does everybody mind if we wait until we get home before we talk about our impressions?
That's fine with me.
Me too.
I can wait. Though, it was a strange experience, wasn't it?
I suppose that's one thing I liked about it. A smooth experience with a smooth offer, well, it might have been too easy for us.
You mean like staying in Odyssey?
I hadn't thought of that, but I suppose so.
Well, one thing's for sure, there's nothing obvious about what God's doing here.
I'd be willing to go.
What?
Well, I mean, if you and Mom really thought it's what God wanted us to do.
But why?
Well, because of Amy, in a way. I don't know how to say this, but Amy made me realize how good we have it in Odyssey.
And that's why you want to go?
No. By good, I mean all the things we've experienced and learned there. I was thinking about Amy and how, well, she and her friends don't have any of that. The way to be taught like we were taught. The way to make her as beautiful inside as she is on the outside. Oh, brother.
We know what you mean, Jimmy.
Actually, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe all the goodness and growing we've done in Odyssey has prepared us to go out and help people like Amy. Don't get me wrong, I don't like the idea of leaving Odyssey. I still hate it. But there's more going on here than liking it or not liking it.
Donna, I don't think I could have said it any better.
Do you all realize what you're saying?
I do. And I like what they're saying.
Thanks for your input, Alice.
My friends are never going to understand this.
Well, I'm glad we decided to wait until later to talk about this. Look, let's not rush into anything here. I think what we need to do more than anything is to take some time right now and pray. This is a big decision for all of us, with some big sacrifices, bigger than any we've ever had to make.
And I thought we had made some pretty big sacrifices.
Why don't we pray?
Good idea. Father, we just ask that you give us direction, that you help us make the right decision. Well, Stuart, that's our story about Pokenberry Falls.
And you'll know the rest long before you ever hear this tape.
But we thought you should know how it all...
Oh.
Is it time already?
Uh-huh. The movers are here.
Yeah, they're early. Well, never mind, Jimmy. Could you get that?
Sure, Dad.
Well, Stuart, the movers are here, and we need to get them started. Then we're going over to Wits End for a big farewell party. Everybody will be there, I think. Tom and Jack pulled it together.
I think Connie and Eugene helped.
Well, anyway, Jason said he thought the whole town is coming out for it, so I guess we better go.
To say goodbye to Odyssey.
And hello to Pokenberry Falls.
Proverbs 3:6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. At every step you take, keep Him in mind and He will direct your paths." I think the Barclays have a deeper understanding of this verse and of the many ways God has been preparing them to walk down this new path. You know, like the Barclays, God is teaching and preparing us all the time for exciting adventures ahead, many that we can't even imagine right now. The important thing is to pay close attention to Him and remember that He will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and He will counsel you with His eye upon you. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Pokenberry Falls RFD was written by Paul McCusker and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Mark Drury, and our executive producer is Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.